Arms-length reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. You're listening to the second hour of the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. Corey and I are starting out with our friend Jeff Deist. Jeff, as you all know, is an old friend of ours. He is the president of the Mises Institute down in Auburn, Alabama. You guys had a pretty important guest speaker there here just in the last week or so, James Grant of the Interest Rate Observer. You know, there's a constant dialogue on our show among our guests and interestingly enough, on our blog also, Jeff, this inflation-deflation scenario. I bet you that's something that Mr. Grant addressed. What did he have to say, and what are your views on it?
Yes, the old inflation-deflation scenario. It's really two sides of the same coin, right? I mean, Jay Taylor talks about this as well, whether we're going to have a hyperinflationary death spiral, like Weimar Germany, you know, with prices spiraling out of control, or whether we're going to have a deflationary winter where asset classes across the board deflate all at once and we all, you know, overnight feel poorer. You know, it's really might just be a difference in timing. In other words, if a crash comes at different points along that crash, will be inflationary or deflationary. Jim Grant obviously is an expert on interest rates, but he's also an expert on money and monetary policy more generally. And one of the interesting things he said in his speech was that there's all this, you know, talk about inflation. What's inflation? Well, he defines inflation very simply. It's just more money, too much money. It's not necessarily more money chasing the same amount of goods, because as he points out, when government or central banks create more money, you know, where that money goes and into what asset classes it flows can be variable, right? It can show up on the balance sheet of certain banks. It can go into consumer prices. It can go into certain commodities. It can go into certain stocks. So this idea that inflation has to mean an increase in consumer prices is not one that Jim Grant shares. He also brought up, I think, a very important point, which is that deflation is not something to be feared. It's not something to be hated. It's actually quite beneficial for most people. I mean, the Fed has basically targeted a 2% inflation rate. But if you extrapolate that out over time, with compounding, just over 10 or 15 years, you know, get people on fixed incomes, especially older people, get poor very quickly, which is 2% inflation, whereas deflation is defined by Jim Grant is a form of progress. It means that the cost of producing goods and services has dropped. Now, granted, sometimes wages drop along with it, but oftentimes the cost drops faster than wages. And as a result of things like globalization, specialization across the global economy, you know, there's a reason why a cell phone that used to cost $500 is now $200. And as Jim Grant points out, you know, that's what people go looking for on the weekends is deflation. They're looking for a bargain. It's a good thing. It's a happy thing. And from my perspective, you know, it's really only Austrians who are talking about deflation rationally. Everyone else is seeing it. The Keynesians, the Paul Krugmans of the world, are seeing it as some boogeyman to be feared, when in fact, even the Fed's 2% inflation target, as we all know, actual inflation is much, much higher than 2%. But even the 2% inflation target is disastrous over time. So it's just, it's amazing to me, Al, how things got so turned upside down in our national conversation about inflation and deflation. And it was just absolutely outstanding to have Jim Grant here in Auburn, to have him speak, unbridled for about an hour. And we've got the speech up on YouTube on our website, Mises.org. It's fantastic. I really encourage anybody who's got, you know, an hour this weekend, do yourself a favor. Go listen to someone who's far smarter and yet humbler than 99.9% of us. I guarantee you will learn something.
Jeff, I find this inflation deflation topic so fascinating, because I think you can look at it from a couple different aspects. The way that some of the more savvy traders and people who really pay attention to macro factors in the economy, really look at the money supply and that sort of thing to determine what the inflation rate is. But I think a lot of the citizens and people maybe who aren't investors look at it from a very much daily living level, where they see some of their costs of goods going up and they see this being inflationary. They see, yes, they do see sales, but they don't take into account that, hey, that's also deflation. So I think that there will always be this slight disconnect as to how inflation and deflation is kind of internalized by a lot of people, and that's okay. Personally, I don't know if we're going to go through an inflation or deflationary period here soon. But I don't think that there's any way in the long run that there won't be a hugely inflationary period just because of the amount of money supplied. Now, you also mentioned that he focuses a lot on interest rates, and we all know that. Did he have any comments about what he thought the Fed was doing in regards to its forward guidance for interest rates?
Well, you know, he made some great jokes about Yellen. And he made a joke about how, hey, you know, he's been studying interest rates for 35 years and writing about them professionally, and that they're getting so small he can't see them anymore, and he's getting older, and he needs big interest rates now, you know. And of course he's old enough to recall a time when people could get a significant rate of return on just a simple passbook account at their local bank. I mean, so, you know, it seems sometimes like the financial media and the American people have some crazy form of amnesia. It's like no one can remember an environment before we effectively had zero interest rates. I mean, you know, and we know that Japan has always been a decade or so ahead of us with this. We've seen what's happened to them, and now we've got Abenomics. And a run I saw today, a run on physical gold in Japan. We need interest rates. We need honest interest rates to have any sort of honest pricing in this world, because interest rates determine, you know, are a tremendous factor in the cost of doing business, in entrepreneurship, in employing capital for the private sector. So when we don't have honest interest rates, we don't have honest pricing of anything. Jim Grant talked about this. He said he wants natural, free-range, organic, local interest rates, not, you know, what he called hothouse interest rates, making the analogy to hothouse tomatoes, which are sort of grown artificially over the winter in heated greenhouses. You know, that was his analogy to our interest rates. So, he's an impressive guy, Corey. He's really a patrician gentleman, and unlike so many people who are out there doling out market research, investment advice, analytics, whatever it might be, I mean, he's the real deal. I came away very, very impressed.
Yeah, I had the pleasure of meeting Jim a few months ago, and he's a very impressive guy. He's truly one of the old guard who really understands what's going on in economics, both domestically and certainly on an international level. Jeff, we want to switch subjects a little bit right now. I know that you're not real long on time here, so I want to chat a little bit about getting your opinion about what's going on over in the Crimea. What I find to be interesting about that is that a lot of people in the United States with a conservative bent, for lack of better terms, are of the opinion that Vladimir Putin is actually probably not such a bad guy. They are of the opinion that perhaps the East, which at this moment in time would be defined as Russia, China, and perhaps India, are getting a little bit trepidatious, for the understatement of the day, about U.S. intentions over there. And that's one of the reasons perhaps that Russia is taking as strong a stance as they are. Any comments on that?
Well, I mean, I think most Americans, myself included, have only a dim understanding and awareness of the whole situation in Crimea and the history of wars there and everything. And I think that in and of itself is a strong reason for us to say, hey, let's not involve ourselves in things we don't understand.
But something we do understand is that we have to take a quick break for the radio stations. Stick around. Corey and I are going to be right back with Jeff.
Free from the shackles of corporate America. We're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
It's time for a home security quiz. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $30? Yes, it's fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. To get your fake TV for only $29.95 with free shipping, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Discussing the Ukraine, we had to cut that one because of a commercial break that was necessary to take there. But, you know, Jeff, it's the United States is getting itself more and more involved, and we haven't talked about this ourselves. I mean, around the world, they're getting more and more stupidly involved, and we haven't discussed this, but, you know, Secretary of State Kerry and President Obama both, you know, likened Putin's actions to 19th century diplomacy. You know, how can you even think about invading a sovereign country? And this is from the President of the United States on the heels of Iraq, on the heels of Syria, on the heels of Afghanistan. I mean, how can anybody say anything like that and not expect to be the laughingstock of the world?
Yeah, well, we're not going to invade. We're not going to get into a ground war or anything else like that over Putin at this point. Everybody knows that, most of all, Putin. But nonetheless, the problem is that we have a neoconservative constituency here in the U.S. that's hysterical about this. You know, they want to go to war against Iran, and they want to bash Obama at every chance they get simply because they view him as a weak president in terms of the aggressive foreign policy they'd like to see. You know, I don't really know what you can say about this other than, A, there's no American interest worth spending dollars or putting American lives at harm, and B, those who disagree should go ahead and you know, donate money to whatever opposition they feel they should, or take their physical bodies over there and help. I mean, we've just reached the point now where, you know, Mr. Putin is simply trying to assert Russian interests and saying, hey, we want to have a vibrant, robust country. We want to grow. We want to expand our presence. We want to annex the Crimea. You know, is that good or bad for U.S. interests? You know, I'm not sure 100%, but I do know that it's not worth fighting over.
Jeff, I think the one huge player or huge swing vote really in this issue moving forward for not only the U.S., but really the whole world is what side Asia and China more specifically takes, because we've seen Russia go on, and we know that they control a huge supply of gas that is provided to the world. And if they start making unilateral trade agreements with China, and if China really starts to, I guess, take their side, I think that could have a very negative impact for the countries here in the West. But we still don't exactly know where China stands. Every once in a while, they seem to take Russia's side, and then they seem to not. So I want to know kind of your take or your impression on how China is going to play out, or even what they're thinking right now.
Well, yeah, it's a fascinating question. I mean, certainly Putin sees a benefit to Russia of getting out of having the world get out of the petrodollar. The U.S. dollar is the world's reserve currency, and the U.S. dollar as a necessary currency for OPEC trading nations. There's no question that Putin sees that as a way to leverage the smaller Russian population, smaller Russian economy against us as more of a superpower these days. He sees that as I think a trump card, an ace in the hole. The Chinese undoubtedly agree. The problem is that, unlike the Russians, the Chinese are awash in dollars, so it doesn't behoove them to burst the bubble quickly on the U.S. dollar and have it devalue or sink to what ought to be, I fear, its natural level quickly. So the Chinese and the Russians seem to me to not be have completely the same interest there. But nonetheless, they certainly have an interest in the rising of the East versus the twilight of the West. They certainly both seem to have an understanding that going forward, real economies are going to be based on physical stuff. You know, Putin understands gas and oil and timber and metals, whereas the West is still deluding itself about our ability to have a financial economy based on Wall Street and Silicon Valley and, you know, companies like Google, which, while amazing in many ways, don't really produce tangible physical stuff. So, you know, it's fascinating, I guess, from a purely academic perspective, but it's also, as a Westerner, it is troubling and horrific to think that, you know, our own government and our own central bank have basically sold us down to the river to the point where, you know, we're a complete paper tiger. We've got military and nuclear power, but our, you know, other than that, we're, you know, in terms of the chess game that's going on, we're denuded and power has shifted to the East.
Jeff, I want to change the subject one more time, and that is I want to suggest strongly that more and more of our listeners get involved at the Mises Institute, and that's very easy to do just by following some of the many some of the many ways from our website that you can get to it. But we posted an article this morning entitled Punching Above Our Weight, and that was an article that you submitted to us, and it had to do with the Austrian Economic Research Conference that you held last week. Give us the highlights of that conference, would you?
Well, it's a conference we have every year, among one of several that we host every year here. And we do have a campus. We have several buildings. But basically, it's a conference of working professionals in the Austrian tradition, so academics and PhD candidates come in and give an unbelievably wide variety of papers to other academics. So it's been sort of our more arcane technical academic conference, as opposed to some of our other week-long events are much more user-friendly to the public, to people who are just tangentially interested in libertarianism, Austrianism. So this has always been sort of our most technical, meaty conference of the year, and it's fun. It's a lot of fun to listen to academics who are far smarter than me, far more learned than me, and you know, it's really one of those weeks of the year that makes me grateful to have come here. That there's still an organization that can put on conferences that advance the Austrian tradition in a world where outside of Austrianism, the economics profession is getting darker and darker. It's getting more and more subservient to the political class. It's getting more and more economists and economics pundits have become house pets of the sort to the ruling class. You know, we see dolts like Paul Krugman, for instance. So it's really refreshing, very radical, energizing week. And, you know, if people are interested, go to Mises.org and come to one of our week-long conferences, our Mises U conference in the summer. I guarantee you will come away energized. You'll have a great time, and you'll learn a lot.
When exactly in the summertime is the Mises U conference?
Well, Al, it's in balmy July in Auburn, Alabama.
I bet it's not so balmy.
what more could you want, right? But no, our Mises U summer thing is generally, not always, but it's mostly attended by high school and college kids. Sometimes their parents come along with them and learn something. So that is a summer event. And then in the fall, we usually have a supporter summit of sorts. Last fall, it was in Jekyll Island, Georgia. Fall before that, it was in Manhattan with David Stockman. So, we have plenty of events throughout the year if you're interested.
Okay, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, from Jeff Deist, president of the Mises Institute. Stick around. We are going to be right back with Lawrence Ralston.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Question: could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer: yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terriganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terriganics.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terriganics. Life's getting better.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze-Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. freezedryguy.com.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to the second hour of the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. You know, I found it to be very interesting what Bob Moriarty had to say at the end of our first hour. Bob is a very bright guy, and sometimes we get off on subjects that may seem, irrelevant to some people out there or whatever. But I think this topic of the cessation that Corey and I and Bob chatted about is a very interesting topic, and I think there's some real food for thought there, given the fact of, you know, what's going on in Italy, what's going on up in Canada with the in Montreal, what's going on with the Scottish people over there in the British Isles. It's just, you know, if you didn't enjoy it, I'm sorry, but I think there's just an awful lot of food for thought there, because I think that particular commentary had a lot to do with kind of with what is going on in society right now. Okay, back to business. We are chatting with Lawrence Ralston. Lawrence is, we think, one of the best newsletter writers out there. We say that for a variety of reasons, the two top ones being, in my mind, he is about as honest as the day is long, and he has a very, very strong geological background, both professionally and educationally. Lawrence, we were chatting off mic. You were talking about kind of a different segment of the small resource companies to take a look at and why you're looking at that particular segment. Do you want to elaborate for us?
Yeah, specifically we were talking about the idea of companies that go into areas where there's been a lot of work done in the past, and they pull together that historic data. Oftentimes it means pulling together a big property position and then starting from that as their exploration project. The You know, so much has changed in the mining industry over the decades. It's really in many ways a totally different industry. There's a lot of things that were looked at years ago or decades ago, or in some cases many decades ago, where at that time and in that setting, the project would have had little or no value, and it was just abandoned, walked away from. And to go back and pick up the data from those things now, in my mind, is one of the most effective ways to conduct exploration. You've got a starting point, at least, and it's way ahead of going out into some untested area and starting from scratch to try to figure out what's going on geologically. So, you know, in the newsletter and in my personal investing over the years, I've had some huge successes from companies that have adopted that approach. There's critics to the approach. I mean, some people say, well, there's no value in taking something and just rehashing it and putting it back out to investors. But for the approach to be successful, the company really has to do more than just take what was there previously. And the companies that I'm talking about are ones where they take the historic data and they treat it as raw data, and they, first of all, it's important to get it into a computer. And once you've got it in a computer, then they can start to do some really interesting analysis on the data. Synthesizing data from a large area in itself is a very important exercise. A lot of the work that was done in the past has been done on little individual claim blocks, and the work that was done there didn't have the benefit of the broad regional kind of perspective on things. So where these companies can pull together a big property position, they pull together the data from all the individual work that was done over the years, get it into a computer, synthesize it, and then apply some modern geological thinking to it, potential to come up with some really interesting results. You know, I'm looking at one situation now where a junior has picked up a district that has been looked at over a period of, well, half a century, in fact, but from the basis of it being a low-grade nickel deposit. And a lot of work has been done over the years, and they've identified a big, big nickel occurrence. But a new group came in a couple of years ago. They looked at the data, and they said, look, in that geological setting, it's perfectly normal to have a platinum-palladium zone distinct from but related to the nickel zone. So they tested that by going back and re-assaying some of the old drill core. And sure enough, exactly where they anticipated they would find the platinum palladium, they found good values. In fact, values that rank well up into the economic range in terms of grade, but over widths that are a multiple of platinum palladium mines that are in operation today. So that exercise was enormously successful. And that they supplemented that, of course, by drilling some holes and filled in the gaps. And they're well on their way to outlining a world-class platinum palladium deposit, which will have nickel as a byproduct rather than seeing it from the other perspective. So that's just one example of how they can go in and apply new geological thinking and really turn a project upside down and get some real value out of it.
Lawrence, what I find really interesting about these companies is with the new technology we have and even the new education out there with some of the mine engineers is that there is an entirely different way to look for these metals and to reassess these properties. As you mentioned, years ago, a land block would have been considered very copper rich, but now with the copper price where it is and the gold price where it is, this could be a great gold play, and people just didn't realize it back at the time. The other thing that attracts me to these companies is the cost benefit that they experience versus just going out and drilling. Drilling, as we all know, is very expensive, but these companies are able to take historical drill results, and if they are of high enough quality, then they can essentially treat them as their own. Is this how the process can actually work, or is there more to it?
No, that's exactly right. You know, and let's put this in a perspective, talking about the reliability of the old results. In some cases, they were not reliable. In most cases, they were. It's just that they may not have documented adequately the procedures to provide full documentation on and full reliability on the results. But they're certainly very useful in terms of a guide to an exploration program. And, you know, drilling not only expensive, and, you know, the case I just mentioned, it would have taken $50 or $100 million or more, plus years, to conduct that amount of drilling and put the underground development in place and all the rest of it, that these guys had as a starting point for their exploration program. And, yeah, of course, metal prices have changed dramatically, which has put a whole different perspective on things. And there's a number of examples where deposits were looked at in years gone by, and in fact, pretty much anything before the late 70s, the mining companies were interested in copper, and the gold was often ignored completely to the point where they didn't even assay for it because it had so little value and it wasn't really recoverable in the metallurgical processes at that time. I saw one example where they went back and simply reassayed the old drill core and demonstrated that a copper deposit had a 5 million ounce gold credit for which there was no recognition of previously. And, of course, that company had a huge bump in its share price, a tenfold increase by demonstrating the presence of the gold as a complement to the copper values. Lots and lots of examples of that sort of situation.
And you know, I have to tell you, there are lots of examples of that sort of situation out there. You know, I think the thing that we want to leave listeners with at the end of this particular segment is two things. Number one, take a look at Resource Opportunities, the newsletter. We do have a banner on our website. For those of you cynics out there, no, we're not getting compensated for doing that in the slightest, point number one. And point number two, it is very, very important, I think, to look at segments within the segment of the junior resource sector. The one that Lawrence has been talking about here is certainly very important. The area of project generators is certainly very important. It's important to be aware of all of the ways you can go in this sector so you have as much advantage as you possibly can on your side. Stick around. We're going to be right back.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number, 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, LegalShield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to LegalShield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let LegalShield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even if I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Okay, welcome back here to wrap up the show. You know, Corey discovered a man who we spoke with off mic earlier this past week. Very, very interesting guy, Peter Brandt. Peter lives in Colorado. He's been in and out of the commodity game his entire life. As he said off the air, he took 10 years off at one time and, you know, did whatever, but then, you know, the hook was too strong and got him back into it. Very successful guy in that industry. And Peter, I would like you to tell us a little bit about your experience in the commodity market. You know, take 3 or 4 minutes or whatever, and then Corey and I would like to throw some questions at you in this instance, specifically about gold. You got the mic, sir.
Oh, sure. Well, thanks a lot. Al and Corey, I lived in Chicago. It was after college, moved to Chicago, worked in the advertising business, worked for a large agency, and I had a neighbor who was the member of the Chicago Board of Trade. He was a silver trader, and he'd invite me down to have lunch with him overlooking the wheat pit at the Chicago Board of Trade, and I was captivated by it. You know, these guys were yelling and screaming, and this is back in the good old days of pit trading. Oh, how I longed to be there again. But, it was just a wonderful world. I just felt a connection to it. I felt a kinsmanship to the idea that guys would go in there and go elbow to elbow with each other. And at the end of the day, what they made was based on how they did. And what they made could be measured to the penny. That was captivating. So I decided I wanted to be a commodity trader and know nothing about it. And went to the Board of Trade and took a job with at the time, it was the second largest grain merchandiser in the world, Continental Grain Company. Learned the business from the ground up, starting in 1976, and learned enough about the business, accumulated enough capital trading, then in 1981 launched my own proprietary trading firm. And that, what I mean by that is just trading my own money, which I have done. I've earned my living since 1981 from the commodity futures markets, and like you said, I took 10 years off to do a whole bunch of other stuff, but the hook was strong and got back into trading full-time again in 2007, reopened my prop firm, but started off in the pit, started off trading corn spreads, moved off the pit to trade a sugar move, and never went back again, and now trade futures pretty much around the globe. We trade global markets, global stock indexes, global interest rates, freight markets as well as the raw material markets, silver, gold, palladium, platinum, crude oil, you name it.
Peter, I've really enjoyed reading your articles, and that's how I came across you, is by simply just going to your website, and I reposted a few of those articles. I think the people, our visitors, our listeners, too, have also enjoyed these type of articles. And I think you can give us a great history and background of where the commodities trade has moved, and even where the commodities trade is moving. Can you give us a little rundown of how maybe the gold and silver commodities industry and trade has changed, but then also commodities in general?
Well, of course, we're dealing with the raw material as opposed to the stocks. Stock market has generally been in a bull market since its inception of the Industrial Revolution, where metal markets and all raw materials have generally moved higher throughout the decades, but commodity markets tend to be more like a yo-yo. You have big bull markets, and you have bear markets, and you lay low for a while, and you have another bull market, and you tend to make higher highs over multi-decade periods of time. But, you know, originally it was primarily a commodity exchange traded market for all raw materials, and since we've gone to electronic trading and that's where we are today, it's all of these raw materials are traded electronically as well as the Forex market. And I should have mentioned that one of the big parts of the markets we trade are Forex. And I think what makes us different than a lot of proprietary trading firms is we could care less what the fundamentals are. We could care less what the cost of production is, or what the national debt of the United States is, or what supply and demand factors might be affected by the war in the Middle East or in Russia. We trade based on charts. We keep price charts, and we trade based on a set of principles and rules that were put together back in the 1920s and 1930s by three men, and their writings have become basically our guidebook. And so we trade what are called classical chart patterns. Everybody's heard of them, head and shoulders, and so forth. And we're a charting firm, and that's how we place our bets.
Peter, now, we have a number of chartists who, quite frankly, are very good, who appear on our site, and what I have to say in terms of a disclaimer whenever we're chatting with any of these guys is that I am about as far away from a chartist as you can be, simply because it's just something I never learned. And I'm not saying I don't find the work of chartists to be incredibly credible. A little play on words there, because I really do. It's just something that to me I don't understand. But like as I said, I have a lot of faith in that particular technique. Let's take the technique of a chartist and relate it to the gold market. Any comments?
Oh yeah, plenty. Of all of the markets that we trade, foreign currencies, we've traded such things as tapioca by the barge load, and we probably traded everything in the world that's tradable. We find that the gold market is the truest market to trade from a classical charting point of view. That the gold market always advertises its moves in advance. That when the gold market tops, it tells you it tops, it rings a bell. When the gold market bottoms, it rings a bell. That the gold market does not have major moves, and by major moves, I think I'd probably define it as a move of 30% up or more, 30% down or more. That those moves do not take place unless they are pre-orchestrated by chart patterns. And of all the markets we trade, we trust the gold charts more than we trust the charts of any other market.
Peter, I have to ask, because I feel we're going that way, where are the charts telling you that gold is moving here in the next little while?
The gold market's in a bear market until it announces otherwise. As far as we're concerned, the gold market, of course, had a big run-up from the 1980s low up until to the high here in 2013. And we're in a bear market, and until the market creates a bottom, we continue to be in a bear market. That the burden of proof in gold is on the bulls. So I am wondering whether the recent lows that we've seen in gold might hold, that we might see some sort of bottom in gold at the lows down around 1,200, a little below 1,200, 1,180 to 1,200. But for right now, I have to assume that we're going back there again and possibly lower, down to back to 1,000. Take silver prices back to 15 to 16 bucks, something like that. Then we can see a possible bottom. There is nothing that we've seen on the charts in gold that would suggest to us that the market has bottomed.
Specifically, what would you have to see on the chart that would convince you of that?
Well, we'd have to see a recognizable pattern that would fit into the charting concepts that were set forth by Richard W. Schaubacher in the late 1920s, or Edwards and McGee in their what's considered to be the Bible of classical charting that was published initially in the 1940s. We'd have to see something that would comply with classical principles of charting. There's nothing that we've seen that would indicate that we have seen a bottom in gold or silver. As a matter of fact, particularly silver, we think that there's a risk of silver taking out its lows and pushing quite a bit lower.
Got to ask you one last question, and that is, number one, this is the point in time where we typically ask a client to come in and say, well, what can you do to benefit our audience? But you're not selling a product, so let me just ask you this question. Peter, what do you think about the conventional stock market in 30 seconds, positive or negative?
Negative near term, very positive long term, particularly in Asia. Extremely constructive on the market in Hong Kong, Taiwan, Singapore in particular. As we view the world through the lenses we see that the Singapore dollar is perhaps greatly undervalued, and Singapore stock market is greatly undervalued, perhaps the most undervalued market in the world.
Okay, there you are, ladies and gentlemen. Peter Brandt, one of the most interesting guys who I've ever chatted with. He definitely is certainly fits in with some of our chartists. Corey and I both hope you've enjoyed the Cornell Economics Report this week. Don't forget to listen to our daily editorials Monday through Friday, and also be back with you next Saturday.
The Cornell Economics Report is produced for A.B. Cornell and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guest by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corland, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corland Economics Report.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
The people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 7
70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.